Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and today is going to be such a wonderful conversation around all these podcasts we've done. And we were just talking about with Alfonso and I talking about it's kind of weird being here in person, right? And these global and timeless fireside chats, but these moment in time, it's such an honor to be here in person with you in the new studio. And we have a great conversation to talk about today. And the main message that we want to convey is to talking about his company, Matalon, who has productized the housing development. And so real estate developers don't need to reinvent the wheel on every building. And this has kind of been, you know, that cycle that we've been on for hundreds and hundreds of podcasts and all trying to figure out how do we build better buildings and move this thing forward. And how this is going to benefit you is that we have to figure out how to analyze and execute and use tools to do that. And they've built a platform called RedTech that's super cool and how that streamlined the entire process so that you can underwrite sites in minutes, connect with one of their partner factories, source debt equity options, and even sign on the perfect property manager. Connecting the people with the robots. If you go look at all these podcasts we've been doing about putting all this stuff together to move it forward. And they're here to help you at every step of the way from land to cash flow, right? The art of construction is the art of moving money, right, Alfonso? And so my perspective here is that we've been talking a lot about, in quotes, productizing. And from different perspectives, like where we had Amy Marks, the queen of prefab on show 207, titled Building Order Out of Chaos, and a recent podcast with the founder Charlie Chupp of Fading West, show 257, Building a Systems Built Factory in Colorado in the Mountains. And their platform's all about residential. And so now I want to talk with Alfonso about productizing multifamily development. So let's explore their new modular development right here in Denver, like miles from us, like super close. It's fun to be able to be here in person talking about something local that's going global. And it's funded by a cool company called Blue Room that will work with getting their team on here, that they have all kinds of really cool call to actions and platforms around new social impact investment funding. So Alfonso, give us your full name, your title, and then we're going to get into the speed round and get to know you. Thanks for coming in, man.
No, thank you for having me, Devin. It's super exciting to be here at the Art of Construction Studio and here in Denver, a city that I have loved for a few years that I've been coming here now. I'm Alfonso Medina. I'm an architect by training with a master's in urbanism. I've been developing multifamily properties for about 16 years now. Started with one single family home that I like drew a couple of plans for and was there on the construction site for a full year while I built it. Fell in love with the art of building, with it's a craft, right? And seeing something come together like through the effort of people's like physical labor is pretty amazing. And so I kept going. I started building larger projects, started doing larger multifamily, working with other developers on a couple of larger scale designed buildings. And from there, I did my master's in urbanism in LA, opened an architecture office there, was based there for a few years, then started teaching in Paris. So I thought like, well, I'm traveling enough. I might as well like move somewhere else. So I moved to New York and opened an architecture office there. And it's been an amazing experience to see really up close to be able to work with different developers in different cities, different contexts, see how things are done in different countries. And in the end, we launched Matalon about 3 years ago now with the objective of just making it easier for developers to increase their output of housing. Because as time goes by, it's become almost impossible for young people to actually stay and live in cities. There's this like whole like big issue on housing affordability and it's almost impossible for a younger generation of people to acquire a house. And okay, that's a problem. But for us, the problem is people can't even rent a place to live in this major metropolitan areas like New York, Denver, more and more LA. And that's something we set out to try to fix.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited for this journey. Let's do the speed round. What's your favorite beverage, Alfonso?
Espresso, for sure.
Espresso, all right. And tell us about your favorite place you've traveled. And boy, I'm excited for this, knowing you were a teacher in Paris and New York and LA. Wow.
Probably the Maldives. And I'm afraid to say that I went to the Maldives when I wasn't surfing. And now that I moved to LA and I'm surfing, I'm like, oh, I have to go back and surf in Maldives. So probably there, because I really want to go back.
So you want to go back and surf, but what's the best story from when you went this last time?
I mean, just, I've always been addicted to cities. I really almost never travel to like beaches or try to rest. For me, I'm kind of like this, I always want to learn about how cities operate and like being, this master's in urbanism, just understanding societies and people and our relationship to the built environment. And for me, it was always very important to know that the responsibility that we have when we're building something, because it'll stay there for years. And so a lot of developers don't think about that. It's just like a more transactional, like money put in, money taken out. But for me, it's, we're building cities basically, and the responsibility that we have like through that. So for me, it's about learning and just traveling and seeing cities. So it wasn't very common for me to go to a beach and just like completely chill and disconnect. That was nice to awesome. Do that.
Well, cool. Well, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos? And when we talk about the change is right here in front of us, like you are one of those guys who's lived it, seen it, doing it, and ready to make that change. What do you do outside of that, what we call the art of construction?
I don't do much. I think I'm very passionate about my work and just building across multiple cities and across different countries. It's pretty intensive. But I do love to spend my free time either reading, surfing, or driving. I hate driving within cities, but road trips or going out in LA, something that's amazing that you can do is just go drive into the canyons and like this like performance driving type of
I kind of had a feeling as I'm getting to know you, the amount of different things you got going, I kind of think I may have met one of my matches of all the different moving parts that we have going on. But the reality is it takes people like you and I to think that way to actually change construction. So you kind of talked about it with school, but I just want to make sure, like, what are some of those key steps in what becoming the CEO and founding Madelon Group?
So the interesting thing is when I was 21, I got pretty bored when I was doing my undergrad, and then the opportunity arose to actually build a house. And this was Mexico, so you can go and build a house, even though I hadn't graduated or anything. But I learned a lot through that, and I just kept building. And really, I learned through fucking things up, basically. That's a good way to learn through doing, right? And it's been an amazing experience. I never worked for anyone else, which is probably not the best of ideas. But by managing people through time, you start learning like what it takes to build stuff, right? And it's not just building buildings. I'm very much into the idea of, as a designer, we're much more focused on building platforms and building platforms where people can live and create a life, and also building platforms for developers. Like it's all about, it's not just bricks and mortar, right? There's so much behind what it takes to get a building up and really structuring that process in order to streamline. For us, it's always been about that, just being able to make things better by repeating the process over and over and over again until you get it perfectly. I think one of my favorite movies is Jiro Loves Sushi, right? And it's this like this Japanese culture of you'll never retire because you'll never make what you're doing perfect, like that art of craft. And for me, that's kind of like building, like keep doing it and doing it and doing it until you're like perfecting your craft.
Right. But along the way, the definition of insanity, if it doesn't work, don't just keep doing it that way, right?
Yeah, but you learn. you do.
So let's get into kind of niche in a little bit here. I'm really excited for the tribe to hear about. Tell us about this new multifamily development coming right here in Denver.
So we launched Madelon 3 years ago, and one of our first investors was Min Young Sun. At that moment, he was just launching Blue Room, which is this amazing social impact investment fund. Min was is one of the smartest people I know, and he launched this fund really with a vision to change the world, to change Denver, to really have investments that at the same time as being profitable, they can have an equally important like social return to what they're doing. So we showed him what we were working on, how we could like start doing housing within the cities in this context, never thinking about Denver. He loved it. He invested in the platform. And when the pandemic started, we were in New York and we're like, what's going to happen now? We were just about to sign the acquisition of two buildings in the Upper West Side. Everything like started falling apart. We're like, what do we do? What do we do? And one of our first conversations was with Min. And he's like, this is the moment to go all out. This is a moment where you have to like this vision that you have for 2030, you have to execute now. And that kind of like really changed our mindset and where we wanted our platform to be. And so we hired an amazing CTO and started working on the platform. And a couple of months after, when he saw where the platform was at, he's like, let's use it in Denver. And we started looking at different sites. And yeah, we just acquired this site in the Santa Fe Arts District. And very excited to have our first ground up building here in Denver.
Ah, so cool. So much to unpack there. Can you talk through the technology that Madelon Group is using and tell us a little bit more about your sister company, RedTech Platform?
Yeah. So basically, one of the biggest things that we understood by being very close to construction and development is that, as you said in the introduction, we don't need to reinvent the wheel with every building. And what's super interesting is that for like, well, you can see how well hospitality has done that, right? How well they're like prefab has worked perfectly for hospitality because Citizen M can fabricate their rooms in Poland and just ship them to London or ship them to New York or San Francisco, and it's the same room. In housing, you don't need to have like different, like 100 different types of apartments. You need studios, you need one bedrooms, you need two bedrooms. It's pretty simple. So it's like modules that you can replicate. So we started with that and it's about like streamlining this process. But as you said, just productizing housing. So we started by having products that we understood we could replicate across multiple sites, and it's economies of scale, right? And working with factories beforehand. As I was mentioning earlier, a lot of developers do all of this work. They get to construction documents, permits, whatever, and then they go and visit a factory and they're like, how can we build this? And you can't think that you can standardize any building. It's better to work with the factory beforehand, see what their capabilities are, because different factories have different ways of working, different modules that they're using. So we approach the factories beforehand, work through the modules, adapt those to a project, and then we input that into our RedTech platform.
Wait a second. So you're saying you actually have a platform that says, can it work? But then if it works, there's actually executables around making it work.
Yeah, totally.
It sounds so obvious, like if you're outside of construction, but it takes conversations like you and I, like when you get and you start getting inside of it as a developer, that you went to architect school and have been living this. You're not just a developer. You became a developer from being in architecture. Is that fair?
Yeah, totally.
And that's a very important thing. So tell us more about the value offering that you have to developers. And, you know, can your Denver development in your mind, how and where can that be replicated?
So initially, when we were developing the RedTech platform, we really understood that the barriers of entry were getting higher and higher for small and medium scale developers to do ground up buildings. It's about really even understanding macroeconomics, right? You have $1 trillion in real estate. You have so much money invested by this massive funds into buildings. But they're all invested into existing buildings because nobody wants to take the risk of building ground up, right? And that's our massive problem with supply is we're not building enough. And so we approached it initially from the focus of small and medium scale developers. They don't have the back office to even kind of like explore the acquisition of a site. So we said like, okay, we have these modules, we have this like standardized buildings that we can build across multiple sites. Let's make it easier for them to acquire a site and build without having this huge back office. So within our RedTech platform, you can input a lot address and it'll give you all the zoning information. Then it goes into like FAR, like what's the maximum height you can build, maximum square footage. And from there, because we've already developed the modules with the factories themselves, our platform, the algorithm already gives you a floor plan. It tells you how many keys or how many units you can build on that specific site.
In that part right there, think about how much time and money is spent on just feasibility studies around what you just talked about that 8 out of 10 are not going to work. And before we turn the mic on, you said something that really resonated with me. I don't want to do work for something that's not going to happen. And that's so demoralizing of how things happen in construction right now. I own a window and door company in Colorado. The amount of work we do for bids and emails of just sending garbage around, like we're getting down to like, we're talking about doing NDAs before we even do a bid, but that has to be earned. And all this, that's what it all boils down to, is trying to build better buildings and not waste people's time about feasibility studies is kind of what I'm hearing from you on that front end.
I mean, it's all about efficiency, right? Everything through time. I mean, theoretically, tech is driving costs down of a lot of different things, but through time, everything is becoming like insanely expensive in terms of like you have to engage with an architecture office to do this feasibility studies, the time that it takes. And then you like even get to the city and try to get permits, but that's not working. And it's like this whole like insane process of getting a building off the ground. We just want to like make it easy.
Yeah. And I think about today, like these moments in time, and I see, today they announced, Elon Musk, who I've talked about, where I've been fascinated about how he's moved stuff. And today, $44 billion to buy Twitter and what that's going to be. Like, I'm not on Twitter. But the point of when I hear that, I was like, there's so much moment in time relationships to what you and I are talking about right now. And what I mean by that is that there's takes people that have to take risks and jump in, but they kind of have to be able to call a spade and make that happen. And that's where we're at with construction. And it boils down to municipalities, right? Of all the local codes, it's about engineering and jurisdiction of the stamp of who's actually inspecting what. And once you get through that hurdle, and what I'm seeing right now is this paradigm shift of it's the MF modular factory that we call system build lifestyle that's been around for a long time that's moving into commercial and residential. How do I get a stamp? How do I do this differently? Well, it's now happening enough. And the thing that people like you are doing it, you're creating a system that's scalable and working with partners that are scalable to where this is actually going to happen like soon. That's my take on this. Just like today, when you look at these moments in time about 10 years from now or 10 years ago, construction is just so ripe for the change, and your platform is building that, right?
Yeah, and I think the main problem is not construction. Construction has advanced. You've had this idea of prefab modular from like since the modernist architects, since Le Corbusier, they were thinking about this type of construction. You've had factories set up a long time ago, right? The problem is not construction. The problem is like everything else around construction. And you have this, like, now all the mayors like that are running for office across like the country on their platform, they have housing because it's one of the like most important problems that we have to address urgently, right? But then again, at the same time, you go to City Hall and you try to get permits, and the timeline is insane. So as you said, for us, this is about taking risks, but it's about taking risks in terms of we're doing a lot of upfront work that nobody else is doing. So we go and work with a factory beforehand, and we do a lot of work with the factory before talking with any developer or before talking with any GC. And part of our work is reaching out to people in office, reaching out to housing authorities, telling them this is the platform that you can use. Like, you can use this platform and it'll be easy to get developers and build the housing that you want built, because they want it, they need it. But at the same time, there's like this huge disconnect about how still not getting built.
Yeah, I just did a podcast last week in Scottsdale with a really cool company called Stream Logistics, and their secret sauce and their platform is all about high stakes freight. And they said it's fascinating to hear how so many factories that are already set up, it just has to work this way. And then it's hard to do the logistics in these parts that are super important. Of, I love how you say it's not the construction, it's everything else. And I'm actually having a whole presentation this week with a company about that very thing, about when I talk with people that are not inside of construction and go get help outside, they're like, Devin, you're making this way more complicated. I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm like, this is just how it is. Like, we have to get IT and data and municipalities and local communities and supply chain and all this stuff to actually match up to, I don't know if it's construction, it's the execution of building something, which is what you and I like and what we're all about in the first place, right?
Yeah. And you even like go and visit this factories, and the way and the methods that they are using and how they're building within like this factory. Yeah, of course, it's more efficient than on-site. There's less waste, but still pretty much the same execution of construction. You
totally
still have
agree.
Like a stick build. It's pretty similar. There's a few factories that are like very advanced.
But then they're so
automated.
Advanced too. And then they spend so much money on that too. So
yeah,
it's a fine
Patera,
line.
Right?
Right.
So it's not construction. It's the way we approach how we build and how we develop. I think that's,
I'd be curious if you were thinking about getting involved and or investing in a factory or all the stuff, because you've done it, right? You were an architect, you went out development, and then you partnered with Blue Room, and I'm excited to have more conversation with them and be involved and see this project come to life, because money talks and bullshit walks at the end of the day, and you got to figure out how this stuff comes together. What advice would you give the Art of Construction tribe if they're wanting to really get more involved in this? What are the things to really think about and really pay attention to from your point of view? As you said, we want to work with several factories. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, totally. We want to be a sales channel for factories. We've visited factories, what you hear is one thing and the reality is another thing,
totally.
Right? You visit these factories and sometimes there's like no construction going on.
Yeah.
I mean, to keep the lights on.
And a lot
on,
of them. And it's like, wow.
And for us, it's about like, we need to bridge that gap between factories doing products and developers wanting to do projects. And that's really where Madelon comes in.
Gold. And we can't talk about that stuff enough, right? The art of business and the art of construction is the art of moving money to then get these buildings built. And there's way too much people pointing the finger and standing around in the factory sitting idle. So it takes all these different things to say, let's get this thing fully up and running. As we work on closing this thing out, Alfonso, the question we've asked of 200 and I'm in that gooey middle of between 250 to 300 podcasts right now. So whatever that is, we've asked this same question, and it's been really fun as I've asked this question of the evolution when we have these conversations. But what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
I mean, definitely technology is changing the world, right? And it's not just technology in the actual construction process and material labor and putting things together. But I think technology in the way that we're connected, we really visualize a very different process of going from land to cash flow through a tech platform. So we see a world in which our platform is connected to the city, and we're just like sending them all of these projects that have been underwritten, and they can even like say like, we want this to get built because they need this housing, right? So for us, it's we see it as technology, like just as a way to connect all of this like very like disconnected players, right? And that is the way it works. It's insane to think that you have developers, you have architects, you have GCs, you have banks, you have cities. Interests are not aligned, and that is how like it's become so expensive to build, right? Because it's theoretically material has gone up. Yes, of course, the cost of labor has gone up. But if you see the percentage of increasing that
to like compare it to the percentage of increase in rents, or like to actually buy a square foot of a condo or a house, there's a huge disconnect there. And I really do think is that, like, for example, I'm an architect, but to think that a lot of architects' interests are like designing this one-off building that's unique, that can be published in the cover of a magazine, it's completely disconnected from like doing the most efficient, cost-friendly building. Right. And that's in the end reflected in what people are paying to live in that building.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying technology is that way to actually connect and cut out the crap, because you're paying for so much nothing.
Yeah, of course. And if we're able to, like our vision with Blue Room Housing, to replicate this building across multiple sites, you'll even be like have banks that are a lot more comfortable because they're seeing the product that's already built just getting replicated, and they'll be like happy to invest in and yeah. loan to this types of projects.
Love it. Well, the last question we always ask, what is that one thing that you want to leave our contractors and affiliates on the Art of Construction tribe to think about it, that go out there to crush it and grow their business?
Well, I think something that's very important for me is that you have to understand that whatever we build will be there for decades. And it's very important that we're always leaving a footprint and shaping our city and our environment for the next generation. So for me, it's like you basically have to think of every project as if you were going to live there, or if your family is going to live there. And just like there's delivering a good product and a good place for people to live in is not more expensive than doing a crappy product.
Ugh, I just love that. Alfonso, it's kind of like Edie Dillman on Be Public Prefab. She said, the last thing she said, build it like your kids are going to live.
Yeah, I am totally.
And I'm like, that's just so good to think about it that way, right? And so the part that I want to close this thing out, it's not just brick and mortar. And you'd mentioned that. We have this whole tangling with the Art of Construction tribe. It's about the click to mortar. And that's that technology part with your platform, RedTech. And I'm excited to continue the conversations and talk with Min and the team where he's out to change the world. And it's fascinating as I think about this, when I started this podcast, I talked about as the day Elon Musk closes on Twitter for $44 billion, and he's doing a lot better than I am when it comes to changing the world. But I read a book, and when I started the podcast, there was really nothing to connect construction. Like, it was all these riches in the niches sponsored by products and all this stuff. And still, I think a lot of the podcast world is a lot of noise. That's who's funding this conversation. And I said, to build better buildings and change the world, somebody has to step in and say, it's not about me at all. It's about whoever I'm interviewing, that they fit into this bigger thing that organically becomes the Art of Construction tribe. And our tagline is the click to mortar experience. And that's, I think, so important where we're at right now, because this macroeconomics is big and complicated and it's risky. But you've taken a lot of the risk out of it. And how fun is that when you go in the show notes, and we'll put information about this project, of when you see your video about how you productize it and see in Denver where you see all the cubes going in the land. Like, I've seen the back end, and it's not just a video game anymore. This is where we're at now. So I commend you. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story, man.
No, thank you so much for having me, Devin. I'd love to continue this conversation.
Awesome. Crush it out there, tribe.